Welcome to episode 9 of the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman. On today's show, I've got a trifecta of joy for you with Michelle Boyd, Sachiko Winbeal, and Mallory Mae Ragland, all together after their joint class in San Antonio. Plus, I've got a special message from Rebecca Shear, who hosted the event. So whether you're up all night, slaving away at your latest masterpiece, desperately searching all over your kitchen for that necessary tool you can't find, or ignoring the pile of dishes and taking a well-deserved break instead, let's get this show started to entertain and inspire you. Joining me now are three of my favorite sugar artists. And while normally I come up with a schmoopy intro for my guests because I like sucking up to my friends, in order to make it easier for you and the audience to understand who is who, let's instead have each of you identify yourselves, if you don't mind.
I'm Michelle Boyd. I'm the owner of Good Gracious Cakes in Chicago. I also teach sugar art all over the place. I may be coming to a town near you, but I also like to team up with these two that are with me today on the podcast. Over here we have Sachiko Winbeal, who you know already.
Hi, hello. My name is Sachiko Winbeal. I'm a creator of Mimi Cafe Union. I'm just only make figure. And
that's it.
I cannot make cookies and icing and ice mold and then airbrush. So I'm still beginner.
She's so humble. And over here, my name is Mallory May of Butterwinks, most known for decorated cookies. That's about it. I don't do models.
Huge giant cookies.
Yeah, that is my thing.
That's right. You're all just beginners for the worst definition of beginner ever used.
We're all beginners at something.
That is true. Everyone hasn't tried something.
Right.
It's one of the ongoing challenges now is pies, doing decorative pies. So have you guys made...
I saw that pie you just posted. That was phenomenal. Oh, my goodness. The one that looked like a little castle or whatever?
Yeah, that's Jessica from piesareawesome.com. I had her on in episode 5. And that's her new thing is these decorative pies out of pie scraper. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's her new challenge.
Mallory's like furiously looking it up right now. I really need to go look at these pies.
It's amazing, and she's worked out the details of like how to combine crusts with an egg wash between. So she's building up the protein layer and stuff. Her work is amazing, and so that's her new challenge to those of us doing this stuff: is do the thing you do, but now try it on a pie.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Like, let's make it even harder what you do.
That's right.
Oh, holy cow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I just found it. Look.
Holy wow.
We are now admiring said pies.
So for those people listening that don't know what we're talking about, where would they find that? Where would they find that picture?
Well, so I will put it in the show notes if you look like even on iTunes, it should tell you that show notes are on this page. Or if you just go to the podcast page then on eattheevidence.com, then I've got notes for each thing. So when we talk about one of your beautiful cakes or designs, like I will link, because I'm sure we're going to get to it, this class you just had, and I've been watching your amazing photos from your class, I'll find one of your public pictures from your class and link that in the show notes so everyone can see the amazing multi-cookie airbrushy figure cake you guys just did.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Really fun. You missed it.
I missed it. I did. I'm very far away now.
Well, we had so much fun in that class. We're hoping that we get to do that format of a class again because that was like a crash course. You know, you come in and right off the bat, you have a 4-hour class with Sachiko, who's teaching figures. And then you trade it off between me and Mallory. Mallory was teaching cookie pops and I was teaching airbrushing. And so then we like put it all together and did like this giant showpiece. And it was fun because then the students kind of all got to like put their piece together with everyone else's to make one big spectacular piece. And I mean, that's what we used to do with the food artist group. We do that once in a while still. In fact, that's how I met Mallory. It was I asked her to join us. I was awkwardly stalking her for a while. And then I said, Mal. I messaged her on Facebook and like, would you like to come be part of the Food Artist Group and do something awesome with us? Because we were looking for people who use different mediums. We had a ton of cake artists, but no cookie artists. And I had admired her work for so long that it's weird when you stalk people and then they become your friends. It's weird.
It has been a long journey into, you know, what we're doing today. So it's really cool to be able to get this new sort of collaborative effort and also share that with students and hopefully push them outside of the box with their art as well, which is something we're trying to do. We really just want people to, you know, see things in a new way and hopefully give them some new perspective and not so cookie cutter.
And I'm not going to lie. There are some challenges when you put all these mediums together, but that's just part of the problem solving process. That's part of the class. For example, I was teaching some airbrush students some things today and they didn't really like the way they turned out. So we like came up with this idea where we piped over it with royal icing. And I'm like, I love this. It looks like a neon sign now. We're going to use that. We're going to incorporate that later, I think, into another class. So you come up with happy accidents that way.
Mm-hmm. I've been stalking Mallory for some time. No, well, I purchased your craftsy classes. So,
you guys are really good at it.
Well, yeah, because I have both your craftsy classes. I haven't actually watched the second. I bought it like the day it came out. And I have a 4-year-old, so, you know, I'll get to it. I even went through and did like a cookie set, just like you showed me. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you get to see the second one. But most importantly, thank you for purchasing. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm always sending people to your classes, too. I keep saying like, because it's so, you're so relaxed about there aren't 15 kinds of timings of icings.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest thing I hear in my hands-on classes. Like, people are so, they love that it's only one consistency. And I sort of found cookies not through a traditional sort of food manner. I was sort of an artist first and found cookies and sort of learned my own way without any sort of blogs or videos or anything. So I just sort of did it the way that I saw fit. And apparently it was very different than what's out there. So people are really excited when they find out like, what? You don't have to do this, 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 this. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Well, that kind of leads into a discussion about like, because a lot of people kind of put a label on themselves saying, oh, I'm self-taught. Like, that's an example of being self-taught. So you didn't come to it with any preconceived notions and you're like, oh, I can't do it this way. You just applied your artistic sensibilities to it and came up with your own method. So I think that's fantastic because there's a lot of people that are like, no, you have to follow the rules. It has to be this, 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 and this. What do you mean you're not using 10-second icing? That's just wrong. People get all upset. But I mean, when you look at your work, obviously you worked out your own technique and your own style and you bring that to your work. And I think it totally shows.
I think that's something in the classes that we do navigate a lot as well with the students, though. And some people don't like it. You know, they don't like the approach of, oh, there's so many ways to do it, whatever feels right for you. So you have some people that are willing to sort of just do many ways of one thing, try something new, see what sticks. But then you have those certain students that are like, but I need a template and a guide and it has to be done this way. And
Mallory doesn't really use cookie cutters even. So like, what? I don't understand. This isn't right. My world is upside down.
Yeah. Well, I yelled at someone they were like, we don't have a scribe in this class. And she was freaking out. I go, no, no scribes, no tools. We do this way. So I do get diligent about some things because I know a lot of people really get stuck in their ways. Like I say out of the box all the time, but then since it's cookies, I always say think outside the cookie cutter. You can't be so resigned to one thing. You can't stay so – the definitions –
you have to be like a shark. You have to keep moving forward or you die.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, and the same is true for Sachiko, too, because she just recently posted like some of her earlier work and then some of her more recent work. And to see the difference was amazing. So you keep changing the way you do things, don't you, Sachi?
I just don't like, you know, when I make something figure or, you know, sample or anything, you know, at the time, oh, and I get, but you know, it's not like satisfied.
Yeah, you're like, always a perfectionist.
Like
yeah.
I want to make more, like, you know, better all the time.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's just enjoy, you know, to create something.
Because we're always learning too. Yeah, I think that is the big thing, which some people are afraid to.
And that's the thing for me too. It's like some people are like, wow, you really don't settle on one thing. I kind of do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Well, Mallory's got cookies and mm-hmm. Sachiko's got figures. I'm like, I do painting, mm-hmm. I do airbrush, I do
jack of all trades.
But it takes me a little longer. So I kind of liken it to, you know, when a child grows up in a house that where multiple languages are spoken, they're more likely to, you know, have a delay in actually speaking. But once they do, they're multilingual. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of it like that.
You think very highly of yourself.
I just do lots of stuff, that's all.
To be fair, Michelle did make one of my all-time favorite cakes. When people ask me about favorite cakes, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, have you seen Michelle Boyd's blue painted cake?
Oh, that's... Michelle, I know you gush about that cake all the time.
I love that cake. That cake makes me happy in my heart and soul on a deep level. It just...
Well, that makes me happy to hear, because as an artist, that's what you want to do. You're not just making cake. If you're a cake artist or a sugar artist, you're trying to reach people on an additional level. So if I make you happy with that, then thank you, because now I've done my job.
So this morning we actually visited, shout out to Rebecca Shear Celebration.
In San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We visited her this morning, and she said, I got a phone call from one of your students this morning, and she was excited about the class, but about cakes and sugar art in general. She was feeling a little, maybe not as inspired or motivated. But then she made Sachiko's figure, and she said, "I can't wait to make another one at home." And
that's good.
Yeah, so it was so nice to get that feedback from a student where mm-hmm. we revitalized sort of her passion for maybe trying something new and doing it. So
And that makes it all worth it. Yeah. That makes us feel like we're doing something right. As opposed to just browbeating people. No, you're holding that wrong.
That's why I like teaching kids and beginners. Very few of them come to it with fear, like the way, you know, because like you're describing, where I have to have a template and you have to tell me exactly how to do it and all the rules. Kids are like, we're making ladybugs. Can I make a space alien? Of course you can.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny, but you talk about that fear, but I remember personally having that fear several times. I remember being in my first drawing class in college, and I was completely intimidated. I just kind of sat there like Sidney Brady with my, you know, the deer in the headlights look on my face. I couldn't move a muscle. I was like, if you have that, you have to push yourself to get through it, because, you know, if you're doing that in a class, you're there to learn anyway. So making mistakes and experimenting is all part of the big process. So
yeah, that's most important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I loved how with the figures that you posted early on with Sachiko, you posted the video where you panned across and then it came to the one where someone had made her little figure was doing the heart hands. And I actually made this noise. I actually went, "Oh."
Here we go.
Yeah.
Because they weren't all the same. And that's not, I mean, sometimes there's value. Some of these classes you want to see. I always go to Mike McCary had that Big Bird class attached mm-hmm. to one of the Austin shows a few years ago. And so then it had the 12 identical Big Birds. And that was amazing, because that meant, like, for that, the way that class was, that was the goal, that everyone got the same thing. But sometimes these other classes where it's like, you can see each person put their own personality on the figures. That makes me really happy too.
Right. Mm. Well, there, you know, and I go back and forth on that too, because there's like technique classes where you want to teach a specific technique, like the Big Bird, so that, you know, if you want it to look exactly like Big Bird, it needs to look like Big Bird.
Exactly.
But there's other times when, you know, like, since my background is in art, I want to bring that to the cake and sugar world. Because there's a lot of people like, oh, I never studied art. But I'm like, oh, that's what I have that I can share with you. Because a lot of times, a lot of us teachers go, I don't know, what do people want to learn? So you'll see that on Facebook all the time. What do you want to study? What do you want to learn from me? And then I realize that if I just bring my art background to whatever I'm teaching, that usually that works out okay. Because that's why I have these two, too, because they're both really great artists in their own right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are.
It's funny because we actually have had that conversation multiple times, being also next to people more so brought up on the culinary side of things.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Watching the way their minds work versus watching people who are more rooted in the art world and seeing those two different personality types mm-hmm. and seeing the way they operate and everything. We tend to always sort of discuss like the differences and the way people think and act and what really drives them.
So yeah, like what would be differences between like a trained chef and a sugar artist? What are the differences? And or maybe the question is, how do we put heads with those people? No.
Oh gosh. Well, I don't want to say anything about culinary people.
They have knives. Be careful.
Yeah, they have knives. But no, it's just a different mindset. Like,
because we're very much more, I'd say us
visual artists to begin with.
Yeah, so us three especially are very loose, free spirited, and like
culinary is a little more technical, and everything has to be by the rules.
And their chef's jackets, and the hats,
and if you've done the job, you can stop. Whereas we're like, no, we're going to keep adding stuff to it because it's going to be awesome.
You guys, it's a perfect rose carved into a watermelon, and that's all we need. Whereas we're like,
no,
wait.
We got to add thorns and leaves and. Put it in a garden bed
but
or a hot house or
but your composition makes no sense.
Sorry?
People who embrace sugar art as an artist, they get frustrated with that. Because I know I've talked to many, many sugar artists like, oh, I don't want to make the same cake more than once. But if you're in a business.
You have to.
And
yeah.
You have to pay the bills, you might have to make 17 of the same cake in one weekend. I don't want to do that either. So that's kind of why I'm teaching.
Well, that's hitting that whole thing that we've seen, like, some really mean and ugly things coming online, like cake or faker or whatever. And it's, I mean, really that debate comes down to artistry versus production. And
right.
I have privilege. I don't need to pay the bill at the end of the week, so I can have the privilege of freeform artistry. But I really respect those who have to do the same horrible frozen in Minecraft cakes week after week after week after week.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you have to do that. If you enjoy it and it pays your bills, yeah, more power to you. But
well, I think we've all been there.
Oh,
though,
yeah.
At
yeah.
a certain point, I think we can all have empathy for
just
that.
Even be in the middle of an order, like for, you know, the same, your wedding cookies where you're piping the same design like 200 times. And by the time you get halfway through it, you're ready to hang up your piping bag. But
can I just say, as an outsider from the cake world,
yeah, now let's talk about your perspective.
I've never seen
cookier.
So much snark. No, not as a cookier. This is me as a human being.
Okay, go
how
ahead.
Is there so much snark in the cake community? And I don't understand why everyone can't just get along, because we are all just humans, and I don't understand.
Okay, here's my thing. Yeah, I want everyone to be nice to each other, and you know, Sachiko is such a good influence on me because I can get a little bit snarky sometimes. But Sachiko is just a beam of sunshine wherever she goes, and makes sure that everybody feels loved. And she's always taking selfies with each and every person. I don't have that much space on my phone, but that's another story.
Next day, we don't know. I might die. So that's why I just take pictures.
We'll have so many things to remember you by.
But I've kind of been around cake shows and competitions long enough that I started to kind of break it down. And I recognize that, like, a lot – emotions run high
mm-hmm.
at a cake. People have put so much of themselves into – that piece that they're presenting to people. And a lot of times they kind of lose sight of the fact that there's going to be other cake shows. Like you might not do as well as you wanted to. Everybody has high hopes that this cake is so amazing and it's going to do so well. And then if it doesn't do well, then they're just crushed. And I've seen that happen time and time again. But like I tell people, you got to think of it like a sport, you know, like you might've got a bad call that day. Maybe the judge rolled out of bed and didn't have his cup of coffee and didn't appreciate whatever it was you were doing. But you know what? There's going to be another game and
mm-hmm.
you'll get to do it again. It's about getting up and trying it again.
As I tell my daughter, my eldest daughter is almost 12. And so this comes up with school and everything all the time. And I keep telling her, you know what? You can be the best that you can be. And sometimes someone else actually just objectively did better. And sometimes, like you said, someone just didn't understand. And sometimes someone just preferred the blue one. And it doesn't mean that you have failed if you did your best effort.
Right.
But it hurts when you spent 3 months on something and didn't get an award.
People are excited. And then the other thing, too, is it's like, it's not, no one cake is going to define you.
No.
You're defined by that one cake, except for maybe Sachiko, but no. No, I'm kidding. Sachiko's always blown us out of the water. But she's always coming up with something new and amazing. But yeah, there's always the next one. There's always the next one.
Yep, definitely. Looking forward. You pick it up and you keep going.
My name is Rebecca Shear. I'm the owner and operator of Shear Celebrations in San Antonio, Texas. We're a party and cake supply store, and we also offer classes in sugar cake decorating and everything sugar art. We just had a fabulous weekend with guest artists Michelle, Mallory, and Sachiko. They did a collaboration class here at Shear Celebrations like no other that we've seen before. It was amazing. It was like getting 3 to 5 classes over a 2-day weekend all in one. We did cookies, we did cookie pops, we did airbrushing, we did hand painting, we did figurine work with fondant and gum paste. It was awesome. I've never seen anything like it before, and I was so excited that these three artists came to our shop to share this with us. We had a great group of people from San Antonio, Austin, and Arlington come in and decorate and learn together. It was 3 amazing artists, 2 awesome days, and 1 event that is going to have memories last for a lifetime. And we also offer anything you need from cookies, cakes, cupcakes, cake pop, isomalt, and more. We carry here at Shear Celebrations, and we do ship worldwide. Our website is www.shearcelebrations.com, and you can also join our text club by texting the @sugar1 to 81010. Thanks, and have a great day.
We're all thinking of our Austin pieces. No, actually, I'm thinking of my NEC piece because I have to register for NEC.
Yeah, I'm going to be in NEC this fall.
Oh, well, I'll come see you then because, yes, I've already booked my hotel and I've already got my Cake Masters ticket.
So. Oh, good. Yeah, we've got our table. I've got my flight booked.
Yeah, we have me and Andrew and Benny and Michelle and the other people, Australia.
Yeah, some Australians. We're meeting up with some Australians.
Yeah, they are coming like 30 people or 40.
Oh, is it that many? I didn't know.
Yeah, they just made a tour. Yeah. Like a UK tour. Yeah.
So they're going to be doing a cake crawl in London, right? Mm-hmm. Like they did in New York?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They did New York.
Yeah.
And then this time, UK.
That sounds like so much fun.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, as someone who is not going, you're all jerks.
No, I'm going to take Mari's picture in my bra.
In your bra?
Always, you know, in my heart.
Oh,
and
you'll just
whip it out of your bra when we miss her. And we'll be drinking our pints at the pub.
Right.
And we'll put Mallory right there on the bar with us.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough. It's been tough having to cancel because, you know, I always, every year I say I'm going to make it to Cake Masters and like, I want to be nominated again, or I want to at least go and all this other stuff. And Michelle's like, can you chill? You've already done it. Like, you've already done it. I'm like, but I want more. And then now being forced to, I canceled my entire 2017, 2018.
Tell the audience why.
baby child, is coming.
She's still 20. We are almost 50s, right?
Oh, no.
You know, why do you have to bring age into it? Yeah, I guess that's true. It's hard. It feels like it's the end. Canceling something and not being there. Like, serious case of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah, but you're growing a human inside of you.
Ew, stop.
It will, I promise, speaking as a mother, it will be okay. And here's the thing. It's really cool because you're in an art area that you can pretty much immediately share with kids. I mean, yeah, okay, not like an infant can't chew a cookie, but, like, I've done stained glass. I had to quit stained glass when I got pregnant right away because that's lead, right? You can look, in the delirium you will have in those first few months, when you finally get 2 hours of sleep and you feel awesome because you've got a whole 2 hours, you can go downstairs and try to make a cookie. And it can be like a Jabba the Hutt disaster, but it doesn't matter because you can stick it in your face and be happy. So you are in the right field for this whole thing, I'll tell you. It will be
well,
okay.
Well, it's actually funny because we were just talking about it. I was like, oh, maybe now I'll make my foray into cakes once a year.
Having to make birthday cakes
now. Never
little
done
baby, a little baby butter wings.
Mm-hmm. Haven't done a real person cake in my life for, you know.
Wait, no. You helped me out with that project we did in Chicago. Oh, that story.
Which part of it?
Mallory and I had to do a giant showpiece for a corporate client in Chicago. It was all Chicago themed. So Mallory hadn't really done cake before, but she'd worked with enough cake artists through the food artist group that she kind of knew. She kind of watched and was catching on. So she made, what'd you make? You made the lion at the Art Institute.
I made an Art Institute lion in a deep dish pizza.
And you made a Chicago deep dish pizza, and then you like took it on the plane and came to see me in Chicago.
Yeah, I did. I think I did a really good job, except for the fondant 101 I actually don't know at all. And I'm like, why is this happening, Michelle? And she was like, don't you know how to do this? And I'm like, no.
We got it done. But the funny part, that was just the craziest weekend, because right after we delivered that, we turned around and we got in the car and we drove from Chicago to Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that was our OSIS.
Mallory's first, was my first Oklahoma show, too. But then, you know, in that delirium, we got into Oklahoma really late that night, and Mallory was still putting her piece together in the hotel room. She's like, I just need something to eat right now.
I really wanted Taco Bell.
Yeah, I know. So we got in the car, and we drove to Taco Bell, and then we got back from Taco Bell and realized that we had left a tray of cookie pieces on top of the car.
It wasn't even a tray of cookies. It was a half sheet tray of one cookie that had like all of this pressure piped filigree, like this gold base that nothing would have worked in the piece if it wasn't there. And
we weren't even drunk.
We weren't at all. No. And it was just on top of the minivan the entire time. Yeah, Michelle takes any reason to tell that story. She loves to tell that story.
We have good stories.
You guys do have good stories.
Good. Air quotes. You know what? I was like, it was such a stretch of like no sleeping and long car trips. And then in the car trip, we're sending out sketches and pitches to other shows and clients. Like, we're literally working through the road trip.
She had not slept the night before. And I'm like, oh, it'll be no problem. She can sleep in the car. And while the entire trip, she's sketching on her iPad and sending things off. And I was like, now you gotta catch the disease.
And then we didn't get any sleep the next night either. And it was just, I don't even remember. And now my brain, I guess, just even thinking about it, can't even recall why we're telling
you. No, I just wanted to tell that story just to say that, like, you know, you have that no sleep brain and things that happen to you, and it happens to all of us.
Yeah, so you're practiced. You're well practiced in not sleeping. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we all are. That is for sure.
And that was when you guys were doing those, your Wayne and Garth lives.
Right, that was the Mitch and Mal show.
Yeah.
Mitch and Mal show. We were stuck in Mitch's studio for like a week straight doing this gigantic showpiece for the client and also getting ready for Oklahoma. So we're like, let's add more to the plate. Why not?
Well, we were actually trying to advertise some classes.
Yeah, we were
trying to get some interest going in those.
So we decided to pretend that we actually had a show every night at 8 o'clock for a week straight.
And everybody was confused. You have a show now? What's going on?
I know. You know, old people Facebook. I had old people on my Facebook. They're like, what channel are you on?
But the funny part was that we were actually not that far from the actual Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah, we were right outside of Aurora, Illinois. We were weren't in a basement, but close enough.
Yeah, and we had our homemade sign in the back, and yeah, it was actually Andrew Sachiko's husband that pointed out that we looked like Wayne.
Oh,
Garth.
Yeah,
yeah, because I was wearing glasses and I had my blonde shaggy hair going on, and you were just you. The next day you had the black baseball cap on.
Right, I just happened to look like Mike. Uh-huh.
We've talked about bringing that back, but we just, you know.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to book some shows. We'll gladly go to any cake show and do a live Mitch and Mal.
And also, I have a secret
character. Oh, she does. Oh,
in my body.
Yeah. In your body.
Yeah. What's the name of the character that you should
Hane Mitsachinda?
No, that's the name of your character. What's the one she's based on?
Miranda Sings,
which I hadn't heard of before until Sachiko broke out into Sachinda in my dining room.
Right. But now I don't have red lips, so I can't call Sachinda.
You can only summon Sachinda with red lips.
Yeah.
Oh, we might have some lipstick somewhere.
Or at least some red food coloring.
Wait, I just talk to her and then I can bring her. Okay.
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 Hello, Sachinda. Are you awake? Yeah. I'm awake.
Oh, hi, Sachinda.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hello, Sachinda. Pleased to meet you. I am mildly confused.
Did you know I am a good singer? I'm always singing for Michelle and Molly, and then they are sleeping for me like a baby.
Well, we'd love to hear you sing.
You're not going to sing?
Yeah, today's nothing.
Sachinda, you got to sing for the people.
No.
The people are chanting in their homes to hear you sing.
You're going to sing at the Austin Cake Show.
Oh,
I'm sure it'll be somebody's birthday at the Austin Cake Show. Mm-hmm.
Sachinda 2018, Austin. Uh-huh, awesome. You have that to look for.
Awesome. Awesome.
It is actually usually Jennifer Bartos' birthday on or around the cake show.
Oh, right.
All right. I'm so looking forward to it. Do it. Thanks, Kim. Bye. Oh, she did.
That was a thing that happened. All right. Well, I mean, if she wants to come back later and sing, you know, I have this wide audience of probably like about 120 people at this point. It's amazing.
Ooh, it keeps growing.
It does. Like maybe one or two people per episode. Eventually I might have like, you know, enough to actually call it real.
It is real. It's already real.
It's real. You guys are on now. You guys are big stars.
So I know it's real.
You know it's real because...
I've listened to several episodes.
Oh, well, that's good. You're the one.
Yeah, me.
No, you guys are big stars, so it's real now.
Yeah, there's no paparazzi here, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, we're big stars. Like, where are our servants? And, like,
oh, no, I failed to mention. You're big artist stars, so there no riches come with it, just so much glory, which is worth exactly what you think it is.
I really like the Austin show. I think it's one of the best shows for like actual artists that really want to do something expressive and out of the box. I feel like that has the most, the rules let that happen as opposed to, oh no, it must be this and it must be that. Although, you know what? I did want to talk about, before I was saying how, oh, you know, there's always another cake show. Sometimes, though, everybody's always like, read the rules. But sometimes, too, you're going to learn those rules just by competing. Like especially when you're competing at like a higher and higher level, there's like little tiny things that, Sachiko's probably got some stories, too. But there's little tiny things that you learn along the way. You're like, well, it's not written in the rules. But after I spoke to the judge after, they marked me down because of X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I had done a cocoa butter painting and I hadn't finished the back of it. And so I got marked down on that and I didn't realize that was an issue because it was meant to be presented.
Yeah, that's weird for a painting.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Those kinds of things that you learn and you only learn through experience. Mm-hmm. What was the time that you brought all those cupcakes to that show?
Cupcakes. Is that Cake International?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So it was a couple years ago, it was London Cake International. So I brought cupcakes and it was 12 cupcakes. And then there...
the rules?
Rule was you have to make two cupcake flavors and then two design.
Mm-hmm.
I just made two flavors and then... Actually, it was kind of like the same design, but each one cupcake has like one figure. And then, you know, the figure is a little bit heavy and also, you know, overseas. So I just use one toothpick in it out.
Oh, yep.
Oh.
Yep. In a British show, that's a disqualification.
Right.
I've seen some 6-tier gorgeous cakes get disqualified at NEC because of just one wire flour.
Well, those are the good things to know before we go.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas, again, at Austin, the difference is the shows here in the UK are assuming that you are doing, even if you're working with dummies, they're assuming that you are working as if this could be a cake for sale that someone would eat, and that therefore they're holding you to the food regulations. Whereas the Austin show is assuming you're creating a piece of art that nobody's going to eat.
Right.
So at the Austin show, they don't care if you stick a wire in a dummy. No one's going to eat that. They don't care if you have a carved cake and stick a wire into it, unless it, for some reason, like, because obviously the sculpted cake category tends to have a rule about it has to be sculpted cake and it's limited on what kind of supports you can have inside it. But aside from that, like, they don't care if you stick a flower with a wire into it, because the assumption is you are showing your artistry, not your production. Here it's you are showing your production. Artistry has to take a second seat to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And obviously all of us are more on the artistry side. So it's a bit of a learning curve. And yeah, the rules at the shows here are things like that. It must be 6 identical cupcakes. They will be tasted. Or it must be this much and the board must be this big and everything must be exactly so. Where in Austin, it's like, try not to go outside of your large space that we've, put for you.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I really like that when people are left to have that amount of freedom, because as an artist, obviously, they do more amazing things that way. I've not been to NEC, so, I might be talking out of school here, but I just feel like, as an artist too, I appreciate that kind of freedom as well. And I feel like I can work on out something without having to worry about quite so many rules and restrictions. And
yeah, it's a different, Jackie talked about this a bit. Jackie Kelly, when she was on the show, talked about this a bit, that again, it's that different way of judging and different way of looking at it, and not necessarily one being better than the other, but you kind of have to know what you're navigating. In the UK, you are more proving that you can precisely execute a traditional skill. You are proving that you can do the thing the way it's always been done. And in obviously, particularly at Austin Show, that's why we have the Innovator Award, because of dorks like me going, what if we tried this new thing no one's ever done?
You play both sides of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've learned now to design. When I think of an Austin show, it's so different than what I'm planning for NEC. But this year, for November NEC, they have a new category. Because I think they've been learning that some of the U.S. shows are doing better because they foster more of the artistic side. I mean, not that NEC is ever in trouble. Clearly, they have like 10,000 shows a year now. But like the smaller British shows have been dying off, in part because it's all about flowers and piping. And so there's sort of the culture here started to learn, like, maybe we need to be a little bit more flexible, because this year for NEC, there's a new category called Pushing the Boundaries. And the rules are basically like, yeah, do whatever. I mean, it does state out, you can use this and you can use this and you can use this, but it's all you can. And whereas you look at the rest of the categories, it's you may not do this, you may not do this, you may not do this. So yeah, totally registering for that category. That's my new category.
I would never have guessed.
Yeah. Well, I was tempted to do a figure. I thought about it because miniature figures are really good here, and it's easier for me with the kids around and stuff. So I thought, should I try another miniature figure? But Robin starts full-time kindergarten. So see, Mal, freedom comes. They go to school and you get your life back. It's amazing. So like September 15th, Robin goes to school all day and I can make an NEC piece. Yeah. So I decided I'm going to go for one of my weird things in that pushing the boundaries category. And no one will be able to guess what it is because it's too weird.
Well, all right. Well, I won't make you talk about it then. I want to ask you about it here on this podcast where all the people are listening.
Yeah, all 120 people who might hear between that. Well, if you come, I'll tell you what it is when we're there. I'll put it this way. If you know what I make, and also this is assuming it works. Like, I can try something new and it may just die. But if it works and if it gets there, then if you look at that and you know I've got a piece in there, you might go, I bet that might be Kim's.
I probably will be able to spot it, I'm thinking.
Something I do, yeah. Are you bringing an entry?
I'm planning on it, yeah, but it, you know, it's my first time, and it's my first time traveling overseas with a cake, so it's going to be something small, but I just settled on a concept just a couple weeks ago, so I got to get on the ball and get it executed. So what about you, Sachi? Are you doing something?
Not sure, but I have something, like, I have to make something like corroborations, like, you know, like a Facebook concept, like a corroboration. So,
you're going to be working the show at a booth.
I don't know, some like a couple, you know, preparation.
Sort of like,
have to
it's like a tag team kind of thing where somebody does this part and another person does that part.
Not like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Let's see. No, I haven't looked in the Facebook.
Is there messages?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going on?
Yeah, the shows here do, like, particularly the Cake International show. I should stop calling it NEC because it's clearly at different venues.
Yeah, I call it CI all the time.
Yeah. So the Cake International shows, they do more of these collaborative, big, sculpty things. I mean, we don't really, I guess the Austin show's got the thing that you and Benny taught, that's the show cake class. But yeah, so we have that at Austin, but we don't really have like six of you to build a massive life-sized figure-y type thing.
And they are doing that team.
But yeah, Austin has now, I guess, there's a showcase category that has teams.
Yeah.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
Like I said, this was the first time we actually taught a collaborative class. Although Sachiko and I did one in New York. It was a much smaller one where she taught like a face and then I did a background where we, like, it was just a relief, kind of a relief face. And I taught a background painting that it went on. Mm. But it was fun because then that's nice because then if you're coming into a class, then you get two teachers and two techniques and it kind of gives you get a little more bang for your buck that way. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think everybody should come take our classes all the time. Right, Sach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also because you guys are just made of awesome. That's a good reason.
Well, plus I got to go to New York for the first time this year, which was amazing. Right. I can't believe I've lived this long and not been to New York yet.
Especially because, you're in Chicago, right?
Right.
Like, that's a stone's throw.
I know. I just had never had a reason to go to New York before.
But Chicago is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, New York State is, big. But Manhattan is small. And then also, if you drive to Manhattan, it's difficult to find cheap parking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because, that brings into question, like, the different areas of the country where, sugar might be more popular or certain things are more popular in different areas of the United States. Like, we're in Texas now, and, like, we could come to Texas, like, forever. Right, Mal?
Texas is wonderful for us. Never thought in my life that I'd be coming to a state that I had no desire to visit at the beginning so often. We've been in San Antonio like 3 times this year already, and it's been multiple years in a row. And every time, like, the people are amazing. It's totally a cookie community for me, so that's great.
So
everyone,
they love you here.
Everyone loves cookies here, and it's such a huge, like, cake art and cookie art community that I never expected.
And while at the same time, I feel like there's not as much interest in Chicago. So that's why I'm constantly traveling to other areas of the country, because I can't, there's, we don't, Wilton is headquartered there. That's true. And we also have the French pastry school, which I thought about attending briefly, but then realized I had to remortgage my house. So that went out the window. But there's no, there's not a lot of cake shops. It's like here we were at Sheer Celebrations, and in Austin, there's Jennifer's shop, Make It Sweet, where people will host classes. There's not a lot of opportunity for that in Chicago. And I'm trying to figure out if it's just because it's not already there, or if there's just no demand there, or it's a different demographic. So it's just a puzzle sometimes.
Well, I mean, having lived in Austin, Jennifer's shop has changed. When I first moved there, she had a smaller business called All-in-One Bake Shop, and she had one tiny room. Like, we couldn't even host cake club meetings in. It was so small. And that's part of when she expanded and changed the name to Make It Sweet. So now she has that massive, gorgeous classroom. It's one of those, if you build it, they will come, sort of like one fueled the other back.
I'm actually kind of excited because I don't know if I'll be able to make it just because my schedule is a little bit full, but there is going to be a new cake show in the Midwest this year in Missouri, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of it. I wish somebody would write that in. I don't remember, but do you know what the name of it is?
No, I haven't.
The name? In Missouri?
Yes.
In St. Louis?
Sweet something.
Sweet something? Oh, she's going to look it up. But yeah, and I'm also encouraged too that there's a lot of new shows popping up. Like, I'm supposed to go to Seattle for the first time this year. Sachiko, you're going to Seattle too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before, I'm going to LA and San Francisco and then Seattle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be in about a week and a half. I'll be in Las Vegas at K Camp, and then Seattle, and then Orlando, and then CI in Birmingham, which I'm totally excited about.
Oh, okay. Show me
Sweets Cake and Candy Convention in St. Louis. Looks like September 13th, because it's a one-day show, which is interesting.
Right.
And then there was the New York Cake Show this year. How was New York Cake Show this year?
Yeah. Good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to that one. New York was a little too expensive for my blood, but I heard it was a good show.
Yeah. I think, they did in the, Manhattan and kind of like in a hot spot. It's not really a hot spot, but it's a little bit like, you can see Brooklyn Bridge or, like that neighborhood. But yeah, everything expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Manhattan is just like, there's no boredom. Like, it's just everything all the time. It's amazing.
Yeah, when I went there the first time, I'm like, Manhattan is like everything I love about Chicago, but on steroids. Except we have this issue with the pizza.
I was going to say, the pizza's going to come up.
I'm not going to get into it now, but Chicago style deep dish, New York thin crust, I don't know. It's just weird.
Very thin pizza. I always a full.
I'm like, no proper pizza requires a fork and knife.
Wars have been started for less.
I know. Don't get me started on the pizza.
When you're in Austin, there's a restaurant. Oh, okay, there was when I left. I don't know if it's still there. But there were two or three of them, so hopefully it's still going, called Mangia. And they serve Chicago deep dish pizza. And it's really nice. And I don't know how, I'm making air quotes now, how authentic it is.
Oh.
But it was delicious. So, delicious is good.
Well, it's pizza. It's hard. It's hard to mess it up, really.
Again, before Jennifer had her shop opened and we were kind of bouncing around multiple restaurants, we had several cake club meetings at Mangia.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of these restaurants would have big rooms, and as long as enough people order, they would let us use the room for free. So that was the running joke with Jackie Kelly being on about the IHOP, because we used to have our cake club meetings at IHOP.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Yeah.
No, that's been part of the fun, too, is like when you travel around and you get to try like different local cuisines. Like here we're in Texas, and this morning there's a local place here that serves a 3-pound cinnamon roll.
I was worried that was going to eat you back. That thing was huge.
Yeah, it was enormous.
Do you want to eat now? We have a leftover.
I bet you do. I bet you could make a house of it and live in it. That thing was enormous.
And then in Austin, it was the first time Miguel Guerrero.
Yeah, Guerrero, yeah.
He introduced me to Texas barbecue for the first time, and he's like, "Oh, I have to go to this great place. It's in a gas station." And I'm like, "A gas station? Yeah." And it was Rudy's, and I of course, yes. So that was awesome. And when I do travel, sometimes I'll get myself into a position where, oh, I have to go and try such and such a bakery. It's market research, right?
Oh yeah, of course, yes. It was like when I was doing the Wolverine cake and I had Hugh Jackman's face all over my kitchen. It was research. It was work.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's right. That was legit.
Sachiko just came back from England. She was in England for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had a nice tea always, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw somebody who had a, it was Liz, I think, or mm-hmm. Benny had a cheese and onion sandwich. Sandwich.
That sounds like the kind of thing they do here. They have a thing here called a chip buddy, which is literally like French fries on a bun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I prefer the bacon buddy, which is bacon on a bun. Pub food. Pub food is big here. And like you take your family to the pub and you have a restaurant. And okay, yes, it also has a bar in it. It's a whole different thing. It's not, there's no minimum order. There's no like minimum drink or cover charge or any of that stuff. And so like I can go to the pub with my friends and have water and it's okay.
Right.
And you can have lots of alcohol. So I, cause you can have mine.
That's a different show.
Yes. That's a different show. Cause someone just had a thread recently of talking about cake shows, and the question was, what makes a great cake show? And like, it was just so many people answering wine, so much wine, booze. How much booze can there be? So much wine and booze. And I was like, goodie bags make a good cake show. I have a slightly different priority set. I just want stuff.
It's everybody's difference. Yes. That makes the world go round. That's fine.
It's good. If you like to drink, you hang out with me because then you can have my share.
Oh, all right.
Right. So it's like one of these things where they give you drink tickets. Like, who wants my drink tickets?
That's the thing about cake shows, though. It's a good time to catch up with your friends, because mm-hmm. there's those cake friends that you'll talk about cake all day long and your family's sick of hearing about it.
Yeah. That's why I always drunk.
You're always drunk.
Yeah.
I like to go to Cake International because I don't have to work.
Oh.
I mean, whereas of Austin.
You're usually kind of on the go all the time.
Yeah. So like, even if I am not doing my assigned task every second at Austin, I'm doing something else. Like it came up this last year where I had, because I run the kids' classes, and the first year I did it, I kind of broke myself trying to teach all the kids' classes, and then kind of like, why don't you have some people step in and teach some other? I'm like, oh, okay, that could be a thing. I don't have to do all the work all the time. And then so there was this gap where I was like, oh, I can walk around the cake show. Oh, wait. Oh, this person at this booth hasn't had lunch. Let me get you your lunch. Oh, okay. Oh, this fire needs putting out over here. Okay, hang on. Oh, Carol doesn't have the document she needs. I'll run and get them. And so then it's like, wait, when did I have some downtime at the Austin show?
Yeah.
So where I go to NEC and I just sit and watch people do demos and I talk to people and it's awesome.
You actually attend the show as opposed to visit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. I have guilt.
And you don't know what to do with yourself.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, it didn't help this last November. I was sick as a dog. So, and I had a misunderstanding where I thought I hadn't placed.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And I was super sad because I thought it.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't gold or silver work, but I thought, well, I don't even get a bronze. And I was just so sad. So I went straight to Mike McCary because he's nice and he gave me sympathy. And then I went and I just sat in the International Theater watching basically all the people I know coming over from the U.S. doing demos.
We were talking about before, you know, it's like sometimes you go to a show and the ball doesn't bounce your way, but it worked out in the end.
It did work out. It turned out the card hadn't been put out. And so when she said, oh no, you had a bronze, I was like, I hugged the judge, which like you probably shouldn't do, especially while sick, but I did anyway, because I was just so happy to get the bronze at that point.
Well, you're American that way, so.
That's true. I have that. It's in my drawer right beside me right now. I have that bronze card. It's like the best bronze ever in the whole world.
Well, sure.
And you know, honestly, at Cake International, I'm happy to get a bronze. I mean, if I ever got a gold, I think I'd drop dead.
I'm a little bit intimidated to compete there. I'm like, I'll be like sweating over every single detail on that
piece. Yeah, just really, really, that's a read the rules thing. If something happens with the rules at Austin, we give the judges huge leeway to say, this person didn't mean to have a mistake. Let's fix this. I mean, well, Sachiko, with your entry thing, because it was on a cake, but it was in the category not on a cake.
Yeah, the one where she won the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So because
that was a beautiful cake.
It was a beautiful cake.
The wedding girl with the little dog on the floor, and she's pulling up her dress.
Some of royal icing people say that video is beautiful, but what's the bottom?
That was you doing something you don't normally do.
Yeah, but I learned, from the making like a big cake, and my purpose is not winning, show thing.
Right.
It's just like
to challenge yourself.
Yeah, challenge myself.
Yeah.
And so the judges just moved you to another category. And so then we fixed that. We make that better. The British show, you would just be disqualified.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the category that was special techniques. It hadn't been that many entries in it. So I'm like, okay, I'll do special techniques. And then I walk in and there's Sachiko's in special techniques, Liz Merrick's in special techniques, yep. Heather Sherman, you were there. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That was just my protest piece in special techniques.
Yeah, I know, but still, you had won special techniques before.
Yeah, not at Masters. That was my first time in Masters.
Oh, okay.
But that's not true. I was Masters the year before because I got the silver in special techniques the year before because I did the flexible chocolate. But, I mean, I won with silver because it wasn't a gold level piece, which I 100% agree with. In fact, it wasn't even so. I didn't do it to get a medal. I did it to get the Innovator Award. That's all I cared about that year. It all worked out because our point in Austin is we really like to make everybody happy as much as possible without stepping on someone else's toes to do it. And so it didn't step on anyone's toes to fix that. So it was fixed. Yay. And then I remember Sachiko was standing there because you were starting to pack up to go. I'm like, you can't go. You might win best in show. And you said, no.
Well, I think I remember she was taking selfies with somebody, and I was like, Sachiko, they called your name again. Well, Sachiko, how long have you been doing your figures?
Actually, I started my business 2010, mm-hmm. and now 2017. That means 7 years, yeah. 6 years.
Yeah, and you took your first sculpting class with Burton Farnsworth, in Virginia.
yeah. So I didn't know everybody. I just started my business, but from Etsy, like online store.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a small cupcakes things, and then so I was just started the Facebook, and it just found cake creators, and then wow, and then so I just found Burton's figure, and then, wow, he has a workshop in Virginia. It was my first class and then first travel myself.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was really nervous, but that's the happening makes me more meeting people like Michelle and Mari, and I really appreciate.
Yeah, because I met you for the first time at the Virginia show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was a chicken.
You're amazing. I love the eyes. I mean, I talked to you at the Austin show about you making your little dried eyes, and I just love the idea that you're walking around at any given time with piles of eyeballs.
Thank you. That's my secret.
You know how the podcast is like, that for, you play it when you're working through the night or whatever. I find it hilarious that Sachiko is always working on these cute little characters, these sweet little figures, but usually she'll turn on Netflix and it'll be some really gory
nightmare of a movie. Something like a murder.
Yeah, she likes the horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
I
love it. That piece, that NEC piece that had the Christmas tree and all those bricks and stuff that I got the bronze finally for. So there's like about 1,400 bricks on there that I mean in a mold, but I handmade each one. Like there's actually a real brick wall grouted with royal icing. And I made those bricks watching from start to finish that Vikings show.
Oh, sure.
Which is a horribly violent, awesome show. So when I look at that brick wall, I do think a lot of Ragnar and blood.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, if you start binge-watching something and you're in the middle of a really long project, every time you hear about that show, you're going to be reminded of that project that you worked on. It's going to take you back in time to that moment when you were just sitting in front of Netflix busting out, 8 million bricks or whatever.
Because it was one of those things where I didn't have to look at what I was doing a lot because it's just pushing it in the mold with my thumb, so I could be looking at the screen a lot.
I'll do a thing too where I'll replay something that I've watched before so I can just listen to it and still understand what's going on if I have to be paying attention to what I'm doing.
Remember Comedy Central used to put on a lot of stand-up? They don't do that as much anymore. They kind of, but remember, it used to be Friday night on Comedy Central was like 4 hours of just stand-up comedy.
Uh-huh.
And I would just, like, my two showcases that I did for Austin, I would, like, record for months in advance on my VCR. So, like, you know, real old school here. I would record hours and hours of stand-up comedy on Comedy Central, and then I would just watch that while making showcases.
Sure. So what you're saying is people need things to listen to and watch while they're making cakes.
Sure.
You know, like this podcast.
Like this podcast.
Yeah.
Someone right now could be making a cake listening to us.
I bet they are.
Yeah. Put that Dragé right there. Oh, man, you nailed that. Good job.
Good job on that piping.
Awesome.
Oh, that's another thing I want to talk about because, like, you talk about you have your cake affirmation moments. And I was just talking about this in class the other day, and everybody was like, no, that never happens to me. I'm like, this has to happen to somebody. I'm working on a cake. It was for a very good friend of mine for her daughter's graduation. And it had all these different elements on it. And so I would make an element and I'd put it aside and I'd make a different element and I'd put it aside, mix it, let something dry. And then the day that I go to actually assemble the cake, it's a humid day and I have to airbrush it like this really dark color. So the humidity is not being my friend. We've all been there when humidity is not your friend. And I'm like, it's just like everything's going wrong. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to deliver this because it's everything's going wrong. It's going to look horrible. I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to muscle through it. So then I start pulling out pieces and little by little, it starts to get better. That thing that I was really worried about, I can kind of cover up with this other thing and yada, 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 and so on and so forth. So I always, almost always have that moment when I'm putting a cake together when I go, this is going to be a hot mess. I'm never going to be able to show my face again. And then I start putting it together and it turns a corner and everything's okay. So my cake affirmation will be, it's going to be okay.
It's all going to work out.
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, you can do it. All the listeners right now, whatever you're working on right now, it's going to be okay.
Even if you think it's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, sorry, heck in a handbasket. It's going to be fine.
I don't think we're at the point of bleeping that. That's okay. We've defaulted to some other sugar-like words. Yeah. But yeah.
We're not that salty today.
Yeah, there's one of the things I played on the show sometimes, and you just close your eyes and step away for a second, because it's amazing how that works. I mean, I had to learn that the hard way, and sometimes I even still forget. Just go take a bathroom break. Go get yourself a drink of water. Just, it's going to be okay. And when you step back and you stop looking at that one bit that's been making you crazy, you realize, look at this other amazing thing you did.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, sometimes they are a hot mess and things happen, but you know what? Even then you can get through it. I see people post sometimes disasters and we do our best to get through them. I've had a cake fall over.
Who hasn't had a cake fall over?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a paid cake. It was a donated for school.
Mallory's raising her hand over here. It's because she does cookies. That's not
okay.
True.
But you've had a cookie fall over, I bet.
You wait a minute though. There was that first year because we haven't really talked about Food Artist Group, but Food Artist Group is a company that the three of us have worked with at various times. And what we do is we provide like spectacular show pieces for like a food and wine festival or something. So we're there for a few days and we're working and people get to watch us work and ask us questions. And then we, you know, at the end we have some spectacular show piece that everybody's like, wow, that's made out of food. That's amazing. Like we've had our share of challenges because we're working outside, making your cake outside.
Oh.
A couple years ago, I was working in San Antonio.
Yeah, it was here.
And then all day rain. And then working with fondant.
I think I was there that time too. I was airbrushing in a thunderstorm. I've never done that before.
I think we've all worked in a thunderstorm, literally. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You had that cookie scape thing going on, and it was so humid, and all your cookies were starting to get softer and softer. And
yeah,
softer.
They felt like sponges at the end, but they held up. It was a tiki themed piece, so we just went with the jokes that like, oh, we really did summon the gods, and they came and they rained on our piece, and you know, it's all about flipping something to make it work for you. Mm-hmm. So we
So it's a little bit, the show must go on kind of thing.
It was all on purpose. We summoned the rain to make it look more realistic.
Mm, that's real artistry right there.
That's some next level, like, problem solving, though. That makes for some stressful moments, but you live through it.
And Mal, I remember you posting, was it the Oklahoma thing where you were running around looking for ice malt?
Oh, I wasn't looking for ice malt. It was the torch that we brought. I had a giant isomalt pole, like a 6-foot pole. No, she was 5'7", so it was a 5-foot pole made out of isomalt. And we had brought a torch. And of course, me being just walking chaos that I am, we showed up late. I didn't think the piece was even going to make it on the floor. So I get into frantic mode where no one or nothing else around me exists besides finishing the task at hand. It's Michelle's torch because I've never used this gigantic. It was like a gigantic.
It was like the regular hardware store torch where you put the big blue tank of propane on the bottom.
Yep.
So you think this gigantic torch would be enough, right, to adhere, you know, a 4-foot cookie woman onto this isomalt pole. And you're like, yeah, that's plenty. We're good. But of course, on the floor, as we're holding this gigantic cookie up against the pole, the torch just stops.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. Something happened. I don't know. I'm frantic. Technically, Michelle can't help me put up the piece, but I'm like, just hold her. So she's on the Oklahoma floor holding up this woman made out of 3 12-inch cookies or something like that. I'm running to the Oklahoma State Fair, and I mean not just the cake show floor. I'm running through the entire fair because we only have...
She goes through the pig exhibit, and the ponies, and the sheep, and the goats, and...
Every food vendor, everything. Like, do you have a microwave? Do you have a microwave? And no one had a microwave, but luckily we found just a tiny little torch from
Joshua John Russell, Mallory's hero.
I am now ever eternally grateful to him. And me being an outsider of the cake world, like, so many times Michelle goes, oh, that's blah blah blah, and I'm like, who? And it's like some famous person that, like, as a cake person you should know. So I didn't even know, like, I no offense to anyone at all, but that was my only experience with Mr. Joshua John Russell. He is now he is an angel in my eyes, a wonderful human being, because he says, please use my torch. And he must have saw me running around like a crazy person. And I was like, thank you so much. So with minutes before the deadline, we torched this cookie woman to her isomalt pole and got it set up on the table where
that
we couldn't even reach.
The tallest cookie I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was the same cookie whose base was on top of the minivan. So that cookie just had, she went from bottom of the base to the top of her head. She was 5'7" tall. 12 cookies made up the entire structure. She had some challenges there, but I think it is like, just like the stuff from working outside and being able to work in different environments is what made that okay.
That was like the most technically challenging cookie ever.
Yeah, I wanted it to be the tallest thing in the room at Oklahoma, and it was. So I felt successful no matter what I placed.
See her from across the room all the time.
Yeah, it was epic. That was an amazing cookie. Well, it placed second, right?
Yeah, it placed second because of, I think people just sort of don't get me a lot of the time.
I have to talk her down off the list.
We all know that in this group, yeah.
Boundaries, Mal, you really are. It's going to be fine.
It's, I just needed to do it for myself as an artist. Like, I needed to see that I could make a 5'7" cookie, and I did. So I feel successful. But it plays second because I guess it didn't necessarily fit their theme for what they felt like, but like I said, I'm a walking ball of chaos. I didn't put my paper out on the table. I didn't. It's definitely my fault.
It was also your first time in Oklahoma.
Yeah, second in Oklahoma doesn't suck. That is not. That is good. Second in Oklahoma is something to be really proud of.
I couldn't believe it because I saw a comment by the winner, actually, who said, well, anyone can go big. And I was just like, what?
Who else
goes that big? I took a little bit of offense to that, but, you know, it is what it is. I feel self-fulfilled, so I'm completely happy with my Oklahoma experience. And I love the theme this year. I wish I could make it, but it's literally days before my due date. So no go for me.
Oh. Well, yeah, but you'd do Oklahoma again?
I would do Oklahoma again, mostly because, like, Julia Usher and I'm praising, we are not worthy right now, channeling my Garth and Wayne. she sponsors the cookie competition. So if it wasn't for her, Oklahoma would not be financially feasible for me. But because she does and she's so wonderful, it's a great cookie competition for those who make competing their work and sort of need to make sure every trip is financially feasible. So mm-hmm. Yes, I would do Oklahoma again for sure.
Yeah, basically you and Julia are my cookie idols.
Oh, thank you. I've never met Julia in person, and it's crazy because we've talked on the phone. We've been scheduled for the same events. Apparently, we've literally been at the same event, and I have still never met her, ever.
Yeah, she came to Austin for, like, one of those other food convention things, and we came so close to, like, going out for coffee type thing, and then it just didn't happen. That was back in Twitter day, like, pre-Google+. We talk on Twitter a lot. But I mean, I consider you guys kind of like the pillars of cookiedom, because yours is the colors and the painting, and hers is like the 3D sculpty. I mean, not like you both do each, but do you know what I mean? Like,
we were having this discussion just last night. Mallory like showed me some cookie work from this artist in Europe somewhere, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was like this just stunning. And she showed it to me, and I'm like, eh. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, but, like, what you do is original. Like, you take some artistry, and you interpret your own way. While this other woman's work was, like, technically perfect and technically beautiful, she was just kind of, like, reinterpreting photographs. And while I appreciated the technical aspects of it, it didn't have like the level of creativity and the level of originality that I see in Mallory's work. So she's like, really? You don't think it's that big of a deal? I'm like, no.
Which is when I told her, oh, you're just my cake mom. And like, have to make me feel better about myself.
I do cookies sometimes. And I think this is, I'm doing something I learned from a Julia Usher video. And then other times it's things I learned from your Craftsy classes or watching your stuff. And it's like, obviously there's overlap, but like my cookie entry for Austin, which is sitting beside me, because eventually I'll actually post it on the blog in all that free time I totally have. The sewing machine, that's more of a Julie Escher thing. It's, there's a lot of little things assembled into one big thing.
I've done cookie stuff before but that's doing a 3D, three-dimensional thing like that is crazy.
Yeah, it's very pleasing. I don't know. It's engineering, so it's poking me in my engineering place.
I know you well enough to know that your mind's a little bit like analytical. So it's like solving that technical challenge, and I have a little bit of that in me too, where I like to have both. I like to be able to solve a technical challenge and also have a creative challenge and bring some artistry to the technical side of it. I like both.
Yeah. The painties and the colors and stuff, I think that's more Mal's cookie. Like, if I'm doing that, I'm going back to your Craftsy class and going, how did you do that again? Right. Okay.
Thank you so much, by the way. You're far too kind. I'm a pillar of nothing. I can't even hold myself up. So thank you.
No, you are. I mean, I'm honestly, that's how I say, and I talk about cookies in that way, that I'm very low cookie artist. That's more amusement for me. Like, that's not my expertise in any way. But when I'm doing it, like, I really do have your voice in one ear and Julia's voice in the other ear. And between the two, that's how I can sort of accomplish my vision because of the amazing things that you guys both do.
Thank you so much. That's amazing to hear. But again, still too kind.
Well, I'm going to go, when I do the show notes, I'm going to put links to your Craftsy classes. So neener, neener, neener.
Thank you. Appreciate it, for sure. It's always nice to actually get paid to be an artist.
Yeah, it's good.
We can work that out. That's always good.
I have sent newbies your way, and I don't know, honestly, I don't know if they bought the class.
Well, thank you, especially since they're, like, in the year that I did do my first Craftsy class, they had a boom of cookie ones, and I know there's many ways to learn, so I'm glad that at least someone out there thinks that my way is the one that should turn to, because I do try to take a very non-intimidating, very loose way about what I do, and it's mostly because that's my personality in general. Like, it's very, if something happens, we can fix it. If there's no way to fix it, we can hide it, you know, that sort of thing. And I think a lot of people are very, very uptight when it comes to their craft. And I think it's nice for them to see someone who is not uptight about anything whatsoever.
Well, yeah, and that is part of why I recommend it. I mean, I have a few other, I don't have all of the cookie classes on Craftsy because there's a huge overlap. But I have a couple other ones, and I'm not going to say whose. And they're fine, but they are more finicky and specific. And so I would not put a beginner on that class. Whereas your class, I feel, is really, really, and particularly anyone listening who's only done cake and wants to try cookies, go try Mal's class. It's a good introduction that doesn't scare you.
It's interesting because it's definitely not for everyone, because, of course, I still get, I get one-star reviews, or I get students that maybe don't mesh well with my style because, like I said before, they just want a very direct and concrete way. So if you're more of a type, what is that, type A personality? Yeah, if you're more of a type A and you absolutely need it one way and you more so need a very defined, more so drill instructor rather than someone who's like, I guess it would be like more hippie, like,
let's all do our cookies, man.
About our cookies. Like, yeah, this is just fun, man. And so there's, you know, there's different ways for everyone. My approach is there's different ways for everyone, and that's all right. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Reminds me of a point about, like, for a while there, a lot of instructors were coming out with tutorials and, you know, oh, so-and-so's got a new tutorial and so-and-so's got a tutorial on a very similar thing, and there was a little bit of drama in the cake world. But you know what? I was talking to one of my kids, and they were telling me that they'll look at multiple tutorials when they're learning something new. So there is room for everybody. Even if you're an instructor and you've got one specific way of doing it, someone else is going to have a different way. And so there is room for more than one.
Yeah, voice. There's definitely merit to everyone. Everyone has a voice.
Nobody gets to own the one way to do cookies or whatever.
And I think a lot of ego tends to happen a lot. I see with cake people, cookie people, those of us just trying to survive in this industry. And I think that's a very difficult thing to overcome. But I think once everyone sort of steps back and realizes, like, we're all in this together, High School Musical style, I always say that. And we're all just people at the end of the day that are trying to do their best. And I think once we all recognize that, I think there will be a lot more empathy in this industry and understanding and just realizing that there's room for all of us here in a peaceful manner, which sometimes seems hard to come by. But I think once ego is removed, I think it's easier to sort of see that.
Oh, I 100% agree. That's pretty much why I'm doing this podcast. I mean, it's also to entertain people who can't look at a TV right now because they have to be putting 10,000 drogés on their cake. I mean, the cake formation thing started as a joke, but people like it, and so I keep doing it. And I was realizing, yeah, you know, we do have a lot of negativity that doesn't need to be there, because I think at our core, most of us do want to support each other and say, what you just did was awesome, and I really admire this thing that you do. And it can be different things. Like, I can look at Dawn Parrott's Royal Icing and go, my hand would fall off, but oh my God, you are a goddess at this. I mean, even at a competition, we're not actually all in competition with each other. We're pushing ourselves to do a thing.
Right.
We can be nicer. I mean, as soon as it turns into the who did something first, it's like, come on, I'm going to find you a Victorian textbook where someone did it in 1850. So
exactly.
Like, nobody alive invented anything in cake. We may be coming up with different ways of meshing things. And I mean, I'm one for, what if, let's try it. And then I like to give it away for free, and I get scolded that I should be making money off it. I'm like, I don't want to have to care if someone else does it.
I mostly agree with you, but there's definitely a delicate balance. Whereas some of us, this is our living.
So it's sort of like a cake decorator down the street from you that undercuts you.
Yeah, No, I don't mean that. Yeah. Or the direct ripoff, obviously direct ripoff, not okay. I mean, I have several friends who are routinely ripped off, and we even all know who the people who are routinely ripping them off are. And sometimes you're kind of like, why is that cake show allowing that person to come teach this when it's clearly that other person's cake?
I think
that, I mean, I've seen both sides of that too. And then, you know, the creator too is, or, you know, the person who quote unquote had it first, sometimes they're like, well, obviously this has been out, it's been circulating. There's some frustration with, you know, why can't they come up with their own original idea?
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, so it can go both ways.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's like we had an issue at the Austin show a few years ago where there was a cake that was pretty much an exact duplicate of someone else's cake. And so we had to have some rule changes because it was that thing of what's an homage? What is a borrowed technique? What is, hey, I like this style and I'm going to replicate it versus what is a ripoff? And so we had to really sit down and think about in the rules, how do we delineate this? And I think it's now and there's something like, if you're doing something that's an homage, you better put that on your form, at least.
Right.
You have to at least say, this is inspired by this other person's work. Because then it is an homage. But if you just put it out there and go, look what I did, then that's when people get upset about the ripoff.
Right.
So again, it comes down to, can we all just be nice? Like, can we all just respect each other? If people were showing respect, then we wouldn't have to have this drama. And I think, you know, Mal, you said it before in posts and here today too, and I think you're right. I see a lot less of it in the cookie world, and I don't know why that is.
It is. Cookie world is a different world. It's definitely not one that my foot is honestly fully in, but anytime that I do something that is more so mainly cookiers, I think it's because cookies have more so traditionally been hobbyers, so a lot of them are older women and moms. I think maybe there's just a very maternal vibe there, whereas cake, it's like the cake revolution right now, and everyone is sort of playing real fast and hard, and this is like
a name for themselves.
Yeah, the big time, whereas cookies are like, oh my God, let me give you a hug. Are you okay? I'm my dear grandchild. So, you know, I think it's just two different, it's very much two different worlds with two different beasts, mm-hmm. for sure.
I hope no one's mad at me. That's my goal. Please don't be mad at me. I didn't mean.
Well, you work hard at like not irritating people. So I think you're good.
Well, if I irritate people, it's usually for my political activism. Where there, if you're irritated, too bad.
You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to have an opinion about something.
But yeah, I mean, like, because that's actually any of the drama that I've had. It's because I've said something very blunt and said, it is not acceptable for you to bring this bigotry into this space. Go away. And people get upset about that. I'm like, fine. That's fine. Right. You can be mad at me for that. I will be that lightning rod. But I mean, on cakes and stuff, I'm like, oh, that's lovely. I'm glad you made that. That's beautiful.
Right. Maybe the drama and cake just needs to get redirected.
Yes. Yeah, we need more positivity. And I think, you know, almost everyone I talk to agrees with that. So we all just need to do that. Everyone, that's our weekly, let's have a weekly challenge. Everyone go and compliment someone else's work. I mean, genuinely.
Oh, Monica, your work is so beautiful. I just really love all your figures that you did this weekend. It was amazing.
Oh, what the heck? Over here.
I was just about to tell you. That. Nobody does cookies like you do. Your artistry, it's like seeing, when I see a Mallory cookie, it's like seeing your handwriting.
All right, chill.
Oh my God, Deborah. Oh my God.
All right.
That's too much. That's so much.
I would tell you guys to get a room, but you're in one. You guys all do amazing work, and that's genuine. And so many of us do such beautiful stuff, and there's so much to praise. There's so much to share. There's so much beauty.
Well, I mean, we're all artists, so we're all striving to make something beautiful. We're striving to, you know, and so we all want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To get paid. Wait, hang on. That's the dream that none of us get. We all want the beauty and to get paid. Oh, anyway, but it is, we've been doing this for a long time, and so I should probably let you guys go soon, but I would happily do this for hours and hours more. But you guys have a giant Cinnabon thing to eat.
Oh, half of one.
Yeah, it comes with a side of insulin, so I think we're okay.
When I used to run the kids' table at the Austin show, the buttercream, and again, air quotes around buttercream, because it's shelf-stable at room temperature, so it has never seen a cow. There's no butter in that buttercream, but it comes in these giant, giant buckets, and when you open it, this smell comes out, and I have many times said, that is the smell of diabetes.
Yep.
And like nothing will put you off fake buttercream as 25-pound bucket of it.
That's for sure.
Mm. Yeah.
But, I worked in a grocery store, so I know all about that.
Yeah. But the kids love it.
They sure do.
They'll squirt it right in their faces. But anyway, so it sounds like I will get to see, well, at least two of you in November. And all three of you in Austin because Mal's coming with a baby. Yay! I'm glad we worked that out.
Oh, all right. If you're buying my ticket and you're dealing with an infant on the airplane, then you can make that a reality.
Okay, that's sure. Yeah. Given that the entire point of the kid classes at Austin is to pay for my ticket from here. I've got to sell a lot more kid classes. Come teach a kid class and we'll cut you in on the kid class stuff. I'll hold the baby. I'll do that.
Well, everyone's offering to do that.
Yeah. But yes, you're about to have a super busy time, but you're not retiring. We're not letting you. You're too awesome.
Retire Rischmeier.
That's what everyone's telling me.
Yeah. It will be okay. You will do it because you are made of awesome and artistry, and it's going to leak out of you everywhere along with breast milk, but that's okay too. And you will be back into it in no time.
All right. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
I'm with you, Kim, because Mallory, you know, like I said, she'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm retiring. Oh, next time we do blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Yeah, she won't be able to stay out of it forever.
That's like that Godfather thing. Every time I get out, we're going to pull you back in. Yeah, because we love you.
Kicking and screaming, probably, but too bad. Too bad, so sad.
Well, that's okay, because the baby's kicking and screaming, and by that point, she'll be like, get me out of this house! I need to go to Austin Cake Show and get 5 minutes. Honestly, seriously, do you know what? The Monday after the Austin Cake Show is my one day a year that nobody needs me for anything.
That's a lovely day.
It's so important. I tell you, it became as an accident two shows ago because I was so tired because Robin still wasn't sleeping through the night. She had just turned 3 and like it was just like, I'm like, this is not okay. And I misbooked the ticket to come home, and I was staying at Kyla's house, so the extra day didn't really matter. But because I misbooked the ticket, and it was going to cost £100 to change the ticket, so my husband said, oh, it's fine, I'll just take an extra day, it's fine. So I ended up with the full Monday, I didn't have to rush to the airport, I didn't have to do anything, and it was the first time in 10 and a half years that nobody needed me for anything for a whole day, and it was awesome.
Glorious.
Yeah, so Mal,
that you have to appreciate.
Yeah, Mal, you need to come to the Austin show, and on Monday, let's do nothing. It is so good for you, because then you go back to, you know, your screaming bundle of joy, and you're like, I love you so much.
I'm listening to you guys, but it's still something I've yet to experience, so I'm not connecting 100%, but once I experience it, I'm sure I'll believe you.
Yeah. What I'm telling you is you'll be okay. You'll be okay. All right. You're going to be a great mom, and you're a great decorator, and you're a pillar of the cookie world. So there you go, because I said so.
Again, too much, but I'll get something that says because Kim Chapman says so.
Sure. 120 people listened, so it must be true. Okay, but I should probably wrap this up because it's almost 11 o'clock here and you guys probably need to go eat your giant thing before it eats you.
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for being on. This was awesome. Well,
thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
And I hope we can do it again sometime, like pretty much anytime you want. Just let me know.
All right. We'll be here. We'll probably be in Texas again. So.
Yeah, well, at Austin. We've already decided that. Okay. And I'll definitely interview you guys, Sachiko and Michelle, in November.
Awesome.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
So shortly after the interview, Michelle posted herself a new avatar photo on Facebook that had the three of them in front of a storefront, and it really just looked like a movie poster, and I cracked some jokes about making a movie trailer of their adventures. And the more I thought about it, the more it amused me. So I went ahead and put together a little fake movie trailer out of clips from the show and some completely stolen clips from YouTube. Please, nobody get mad at me. This is hopefully going to amuse everybody involved, even the people who didn't technically consent to their voices being used. Let's just call it fun parody meant to warm everybody's hearts and give everyone a laugh while they're working.
from the producers of Cakes on a Plane comes another story of adventure.
You have to be like a shark. You have to keep moving forward or you die.
Friendship.
It's weird when you stalk people and then they become your friends. We weren't even drunk.
And song.
We're all in this together, High School Musical style.
Did you know I am a good singer?
Join Michelle Boyd.
That was like a crash course.
Sachiko Winville.
Next day, we don't know. I might die.
And Mallory Mae Ragland.
I'm frantic, but I'm a walking ball of chaos.
On a ride of a lifetime.
And then we got back from Taco Bell and realized that we had left a tray of cookie pieces on top of the car.
Share their laughs. Their anguish.
Well, as someone who is not growing, you're all jerks.
And their adventures through the Oklahoma State Fair.
I'm running through the Oklahoma State Fair, and I mean not just the cake show floor. I'm running through the entire fair.
She goes through the pig exhibit, the sheep and the goats, and
every food vendor, everything. Like, do you have a microwave? Do you have a microwave?
With a surprise guest star superhero.
I'm Joshua John Russell.
Joshua John Russell. Mallory's hero.
I am now ever eternally grateful to him. That was my only experience with Mr. Joshua John Russell. He is an angel in my eyes, a wonderful human being, because he says, please use my torch.
And an unexpected villain.
There's a local place here that serves a 3-pound cinnamon roll.
Experience the artistry, the majesty, and the underpaid thrill ride that is the sugar arts industry until one of them is ready to explode in a way that could tear them all apart.
Oh my goodness, Murray's water just a block.
There's just a very maternal vibe there. If something happens, we can fix it. If there's no way to fix it, we can hide it.
You're growing a human inside of you.
Ew, stop.
Who's gonna stop me? Nobody.
It's gonna be okay. This is gonna be a hot mess. I'm never gonna be able to show my face again.
I don't understand why everyone can't just get along.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the kitchen, you realize you're up to your elbows in royally screwed icing. Coming this holiday season to the cinemas of our sugar-fueled dreams, a taken-out-of-context production, rated PG-13.
I took a little bit of offense to that, but, you know, it is what it is. I want more!
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors. And you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.